looked through my garage, and I could not find it. I don't know, the moths ate it. Maybe Pacific High School, somebody came from there and stole it, because Pacific High School does it dirty. Pacific High School. Is anybody from Pacific in here? Nobody from Pacific? Dang, I need to pray for Pacific. I got G in here, though. But what I did find was I found yearbooks. This is my yearbook from 1995. Serrano Middle School. Serrano in the house! This was when we were not politically correct. And then I would let you guys look at this, but there's like so much cussing in this. I don't think I can let you look at this as a youth pastor. I know. I was a bad seventh grader. Don't. You guys be good. But I will show you my school ID from junior high now. You guys can't. Don't be dogging on me, though. Do you guys have the picture from junior high? It's Pastor Richard. Like that. I got the turtle rim right there. Brother looking good. Dang. Don't look directly in my eyes. I know those dreamy eyes right there. Don't look directly in those eyes. They took that picture in the morning. Thankfully, the resolution's really bad, so you can't see my acne. Now, over here, I graduated 2000. This is Sanji. GG. This one, we had a bomb threat. Even 2000, we had bomb threats. We had a bomb threat one in the morning, so I didn't get a lot of signatures. I'm going to blame it on the terrorists. But I will say, I don't know how or why, but I did get... What am I dropping? Oh, that's my prom picture. That's not my prom picture. That's not Shrek, don't worry. That is a mustache. And that was when computers first came out. That's why I look like I belong at Wreck-It Ralph or something. This was my prom picture. We didn't scan this one. I didn't go to my own prom. I went to Eucaipus prom. But for some reason, I did win the friendliest, the day of the bomb threat. I won the friendliest, the most friendliest. Can you believe that? Look at that. Look at that. Wow. Wow. No, actually, I just printed this on my own computer at home. No, that's not true either. But that was my 11th grade year. And then my senior year. Do you have my senior year picture? Oh, brother, looking good. Oh, look at that. Dressed up in everything. I do look fresh. Dang. Got my chin strap on. Mustache. Oh, brother, looking good. That's the same mustache I had from junior high, too. Dang. Just kind of kept it going. And there's a lot of stuff in this, man. Memories. I was looking through it and thinking, and I was remembering all the things I didn't want to remember. Oh, man, it was terrible. It was terrible. But, you know, take it away, please. You're hurting the people. You don't got to be cruel. Thank you. Thank you for those flying squares. man. I'll tell you this, I'm 32 years old right now, and I'll tell you, it's hard being a teenager, man. I remember just going through all those pictures and looking at my mutations and everything. It was, being a teenager is tough. And I just can't tell you, when I was in eighth grade, ninth grade, that's when I got saved. I started going to church and everything like that, and my life began to change, and, you know, I don't know how a young person can get through these years without God. I just don't know how you can do it. I see people try to do it. I see people, some people do it, but I don't know, because I know my life with my family. I know my life with the challenges I face, my friends, the peer pressure. I shared a little bit last week, but just being in like my on the school teams that I was, I mean, literally. Literally being in sharing hotel rooms where people were smoking weed and blowing it out the window, and I went through my entire high school, junior high years, never got drunk, I never got high, never got wasted, graduated honors, I got in other trouble, but, you know, but, and it's not just because I was a good kid, because even when I was, it's not because I was a good kid, it's because God got a hold of my life, and he turned my life, which could have been trouble, which could have been disaster, which could have, honestly, could have landed me up in jail, some of the things that I was starting to get into, but it God changed my life. Jesus Christ changed my life. And see, that's what we're talking about today. You know, we pep rally, the past couple weeks, talking about getting the spirit in your school spirit. See, this is what it's about. This is what I know. If you don't remember anything about tonight other than that green stuff on people's hands, remember this, is that changed lives change lives. A changed life will change people's lives. And see, that's what the gospel, if you don't know what the Bible says or what it means, this is what it means. It means that changed lives will change lives. And Jasmine said it a little bit earlier. You know, she look. It's a matter of this. Is if things aren't going well with your life, then you need somebody, something, something to happen to you to change your life. If things are going good in your life and you live for Jesus and you're living for God, you're doing the church thing, then you need to be a person that changes other people's lives. You know, there's a story in the book Acts, 17th chapter. Verse 6 is kind of where I wanted to read it to you, but basically there was this city called Thessalonica and things were going crazy, things were going wild and people's lives were being changed, and it was literally over these cities that they were talking about Jesus. It was literally even changing the economy. It was changing businesses were going out of business because God was doing such big things. It was kind of wild. And God was changing the way the city was. Why? Because people's lives were getting changed. And it changed the way they act. And it changed the way they thought. And it changed the way they viewed themselves. And that's what began to happen. And some people began to get really upset about it because it was messing up their system. So they began to cause riots. And they began to bust people's doors down. And literally it says here that they found this man. That they found this man. And it says here in 17:6, it says this. It says, the Jews who were not persuaded, they became envious. They were jealous of people's lives getting changed. They took some evil men from the marketplace. They gathered a mob. They set up a riot. They set the city into an uproar and attacked the house of Jason. They sought to bring them, the preachers, Paul and his friends, out to the people, but they did not find them. They dragged out Jason with some of their brethren, the other Christians, to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These are the people that have turned the world upside down. They've come here too." See, there was a change happening, and it wasn't confined to one person. I believe a private faith is no faith at all. You know, look, if something has changed your life, if something is a part of the deepest part of who you are, then you cannot get away from it. It's something that is a part of every word you say. It's a part of every emotion you have. It's a part of every decision you make. It's a part of how you do your homework and how you treat your mom. It's a part of how you make friends and what kind of friend you are. A real faith is a faith that's so deep, it's a part of everything you do, every breath you take, every move you make. You know that God is watching you. And that's what happened with these men, with Jason, with Paul, with Peter, and Silas, and the whole crew, and their group of people, that they walked into a city, and their changed lives. Paul went from an evil, murderous man to a man that loved others and cared for people nobody else would care for. You know, God came into my life as a seventh grader, and he changed my life from a punk kid who was doing bad things, getting ready to make a lot of mess, hurt a lot of people. And he turned me into a youth pastor. Go figure. I mean, God upgraded me, man. Because changed lives change lives. So the question today is, have you allowed God to change your life? Have you so deeply given your heart to the one that has already given you his heart that is changing everything you do? See, that's what it's about today. That's what the pep rally is. A pep rally is a time when you get people together and you get them excited to go out and win a game. And I just hope that you guys are in this place and you guys are excited to go out and go to school tomorrow and go to see your family tonight and come home and see your little brother and your puppy dog and act like Jesus wherever you go to get ready for the next game, the next fight, that life has brought you. And hopefully that God would change and you would allow God to change your life and find the parts of you that aren't working and cause them to work. See, that's what God's desire is. That's the gospel, that God would come and find broken people and fix them. That's what he did for me. That's what he wants to do in you. And he wants what he wants to do with you for other people. Hey, let me get the band up here real quick. See, that's why I show you a couple pictures of me as some young, bumpy-faced kid. Because I literally went from someone that would bully and be mean and harass people to somehow, some way, the friendliest kid in high school. That's weird, because I don't even think I had a lot of friends. Seriously, I don't even know how this happened. I wasn't even there to receive this prize. The teacher had to bring it to me. And the only way that could happen is through Jesus Christ. Literally, a kid who used to eat lunch in the library. I was that kid. God changed my life, gave me a purpose, showed me what's up. So tonight, we got a little bit of time left in service. I want to worship God with you guys. And tonight, can we pray a little bit? We started praying a little bit last week, but I'd like to pray for your schools. No, I don't want to pray for your schools. I don't want to pray for your schools. I want you to pray for your schools. Because you know what they need. You know how jacked up your school is, and you know what God needs to fix in your school. God's changed your life. Let's pray that God would change other people's lives. So if you can, let's get ready to prepare our hearts to worship God. Not to say, oh, I like that song. But no. Say, God, I want to tell you how thankful I am for you. Because that's what worship's about. Not just the song that we sing. I like that song. This is my favorite part. No. God, I like this part because it's true about who you are and what you've done for me. So everybody stand up in this place. If you will, come on forward and let's get ready to worship the Lord.